Psalm 119, I'm going to begin with a question from starting in verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips, I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. Good question. How can a young man keep his way pure? This may be equivalent to what we find in the book of Proverbs, that where the writer of Proverbs often says, "My son, hear these instructions. Listen, my son, to the following instructions." And in Proverbs, that appears to be language that's actually referring to disciples, to the disciples of the wise. Now, of course, it very much can also be language just of fathers and mothers teaching their children. Here, it says, how can a young man keep his way pure? But I'll broaden it out a little bit today. How can anybody keep their way pure? Young man, old man, young woman, old woman, you know. How can anyone keep their way pure before God? How can we live the kind of life that pleases God? And the psalmist asks the question, and then in answering the question, he turns into prayer. I mean, at the beginning, it's just a question. But then as he answers the question, it's a prayer because he keeps speaking to God. He gives the basic answer in the next line, by living according to your word, and then he gives details of his answer. It's a good question. How can any person keep their way pure? How can any person live the right kind of life before God? Let's see what the psalmist tells us. By living according to your word. The psalmist, as we have already noticed in the first part of the chapter, as we noticed back in Psalm 19 and Psalm 1, the psalmist is very much a man of the word of God. And he uses different terms here. Word, commands, uses word again, decrees, laws that come from your mouth, statutes, precepts. He piles up the terms to speak of the word of God and what God is revealing to people, revealing to us. And he says that the way we live in the way that God wants is by living according to his word. But then the question becomes, and what does that look like? What does that mean? We've all heard this before. We've all heard that we should be spend time in the Bible. But why? How does the psalmist describe this? Notice verse 10. And there's a whole series of these. Notice the word I. I seek. I have hidden. I recount. I rejoice. I meditate. I delight. So he's giving us instructions about this. Verse 10 again. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. The psalmist is indicating to us one of the basic things that has to do with Bible study. Bible study, in the end, going to the word of God, is not just reading words, a dead letter. It's not just reading a book like you would read any book. It is reading a word from the Creator, God of the universe. And because of that, it is a living word. It is a powerful, transforming word to us, if we will allow it to be. I mean, we can ignore it, just don't read it. or we can read it in a way that we really don't get the benefit from it. We just read words. Don't even remember what it was we read after we read it. Or we can read it in a way that transforms. I've often thought that the Bible is sort of like looking through a window. Reading the Bible is like looking through a window. You can either look at the window or you can look through it. You can look at the window and see smudges or fingerprints or a ladybug on the other, on one side of it. or you can look through the window and see the beauty of the world outside. The Bible is kind of like that. We can look at the Bible, just look at it. I knew a guy once who could tell you how many camels Solomon had, but he really didn't know anything about the Bible. Not really. He could tell you the camels and the concubines and the wives and the donkeys and the all this stuff. You know, he could give you all those details, which seemed to really fascinate him. But as far as real understanding of God through the Bible, he didn't have it. But the Bible, being like a window, we can look at it, we can just see the words, or we can look through it to the beauty on the other side, the beauty of God, because it is God who has given the Bible. Your word. I live according to your word. Don't let me stray from your commands. The most basic reason for reading the Bible is to find God and find the will of God. And if we just start with that premise, that when we open the pages of the Bible, we're looking for God, and He is revealing Himself there. Just as surely as He has revealed Himself in nature, in the world around us, and His fingerprints are all over nature, just as surely as He has revealed Himself there, He has revealed Himself in His Word. And in fact, He reveals Himself more and more deeply in His Word than He does even in nature. I seek you with all my heart. The Word of God, then the commands that He gives us are not just abstract or theoretical, but they're meant to bring us to God Himself. Secondly, He says, I have hidden your Word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I have hidden your Word in my heart. It's sort of like in ancient times, sometimes they would hide treasures because no place else was really safe. So they would hide things in the ground or hide them someplace where people wouldn't find them. And I get that sort of picture here. He has taken the Word of God and He's hidden it in His heart. That's the place where He has hidden it, where He's put it away. It's inside of Him. And the heart isn't, in the Bible, isn't just emotions. The heart is all that we are. Emotions, thinking, will to act. It's what we are as people. And to say that He has hidden the Word of God in His heart says that it's part of Him. It's inside of Him. How do you do that? Well, there are a lot of ways to do it. Some people see this and think in terms of memorizing Scripture, and memorizing Scripture, as Ian assigned this morning to the kids, is a great thing to do. Great thing for the adults to do, not just children. Okay? It's a great thing to do, whether it's one verse or a whole long passage. But I think it's more than memorizing. Memorizing is very important, but knowing the Word of God, having the impact, allowing your life to be molded by the Word of God, so that it's not just an intellectual exercise. It's part of you. And so when you're faced with sin, when you're faced with temptation, Scripture just naturally comes to mind because you're so saturated with it. I think of Jesus in Matthew 4. He's being tempted by Satan, and at each temptation he quotes Scripture. That's what helped him overcome the temptation. There is nothing that will help you overcome temptation in your life like Scripture, and having a handy Scripture that has to do with the very thing you're struggling with, to have that come to mind. It's great to be able to go to the Bible and look it up, but a lot of times we're just not in a position for that. Temptation is now, and I need to face it now, whatever it is. Maybe it's to say something really unkind. Maybe it's to do something really unkind. Maybe it has to do with lust. Maybe it has to do with lying. It can have to do with anything, but to have Scripture that tells me what God wants from me is a precious thing. And the psalmist has found that hiding the Word of God in his heart can keep him from sin. And it'll keep us from sin as well. Then, in the middle of this, he takes a break. an outbreak of praise. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. If it is this precious, if this is what will keep me from sin, if this is what will help me find God, then praise to God. Praise be to God that and there's a request here. Teach me your decrees. Sometimes I think we just don't think in terms of when we open this book, this being God teaching us his decrees. He's teaching us here. And we need to learn. Then he continues, verse 13, with my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I recount your laws. The psalmist doesn't want to keep it to himself, can't keep it to himself. I seek you, I've hidden your word, and now I recount it. I'm going to tell other people about it. You know, when you really have good news, if you've just won a prize, if you've just had a promotion, if you've just had some great news that has just come to you, then it's hard to keep that in. And yet, we read the Word of God, which is so exciting and so life-building and so transforming, and somehow, very often, people just sort of stifle the urge to share that with other people. I recount all the words, or all the laws that come from your mouth. Notice also that come from your mouth. He's talking about Scripture, but he sees this as being something God spoke. Yeah, he spoke it through human beings who wrote it down, but it's still God speaking, and God speaking to us. And the psalmist wants to recount those to other people. You know, in fellowship, when we're talking to each other, we can talk about all kinds of things, and there are all kinds of good things to talk about. But you know, at some point, one of the things we should be talking about is just our experience with God and our experience in the Word and what we have learned. And recounting that to each other. When you really hear good news, it's just too good to keep to yourself. When you hear the real Word of God speaking to your life and transforming it, it's something that needs to be spoken, not just kept in. Verse 14, I rejoice. I rejoice in following your statutes. What? Think about that. Okay, he's saying he's rejoicing in being obedient. He's rejoicing in following the commands of God. A lot of people would have a little trouble with that. Oh yeah, I obey, but it's really hard. And yeah, sometimes it is hard. But if we really believe that this is the path to life, then it is a joy. It's a joy to spend time in the Word of God, and it is a joy to follow what we find there. Because we're in the path that God has laid out for us. He says he rejoices as one who rejoices in great riches. Every once in a while, I have to admit, I fantasize about winning the lottery. But I do realize it's a little difficult to win the lottery if you never play. But I still have a backup. I can always find a lottery ticket somewhere that's a winner. You know, we can fantasize about things like that. And the psalmist doesn't say that it's bad to rejoice in great riches, but he refocuses us in saying he rejoices in his obedience to the Word of God like somebody who finds great riches. You know, there are a lot of things that can bring joy in our lives, if money or cars or houses or clothes or whatever. And the psalmist is saying, line up the thing that would give you greatest joy and put following the commands of God there or above there. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 44, Jesus tells a parable about a man who found a treasure in a field, and he went away and he sold what he had to buy the field, and in his joy he bought the field. And Jesus says the kingdom of God is like that. What's the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is the reign of God in a person's life. That's what it is. Jesus is saying, when God comes to reign, it is worth everything you've got, and when you sell everything you've got in order to get it, it's joy. It's not just a begrudging sacrifice, it's a joy, because what you gain from God is far greater than anything you can possibly give up. When we come to the Word of God, it brings joy to us, because following the Word of God takes us to places we will never go without it, and it brings blessings into our lives that we will never experience without it. And so because of that, it can be the source of greatest joy for us. Verse 15, I meditate on your precepts. How do we live according to the Word? Meditate. Meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I've said it before, say it again, to myself as much as I am to you, that the path to spiritual maturity leads right through spending time in the Word of God, and not just reading words, but in meditating. Meditation means that you turn it over and over in your mind. It is something more than just reading. Reading is good, but what do you do then? Meditation means you take what it was you read, and you take it in, and you reflect on it, and you think about it, and you allow it to transform your thinking, your emotions, your actions. And the Word of God transforms people through that process. There is no bank on it. There is no substitute for time in the Word and for prayer. And remember, this is all being prayed. I meditate on your precepts, he says to God. He's praying this, and at the same time, he's talking about the importance of the Word in changing his life. The Word of God will change our perspective. And after it changes our perspective, it will change the way we live. Everybody in this world has a worldview. Something that makes the world make sense. Every culture, every person has some kind of worldview. This is how the world operates. This is how it makes sense. This is how you live in it. There is a biblical worldview that transcends all of the worldviews in our world of all history. But the only way we can have that worldview, that biblical worldview, is to spend time saturating ourselves with it so that it becomes part of us, a natural part of the way we think, so that when we react, we react not according to our normal human impulses, but we begin to react as people whose lives have been transformed by the Word of God. That only happens through meditation, and he hits it again when he says, and consider your ways. That's the idea. You're considering the ways of God, and you're allowing his precepts to permeate your life. Then finally in verse 16, I delight in your decrees, I will not neglect your word. Delighted. What does delight mean to you? This word could be used, and was used, of children playing. Delighted in playing. It is a festive, happy, joyful kind of word. And he says, I delight in your decrees. I delight in what you've got to say. I delight in the instructions that you give me. It's not just, I know I need to. I know I ought to. Sometime I really ought to get around to, but no, he delights in it. And because of that, he says, I will not neglect your word. If we delight in the word, we won't neglect it. If we neglect it, it shows there's not really a delight there. But the psalmist leads us into how to keep our way pure before God. And one of the keys to that is spending enough time in the word that it becomes our delight. And you know, somebody might say, well, you know, If I don't delight in it, how can I come to delight in it? Spend more time in it. Share it with other people. Go to some other people who really delight in the Word of God and catch some of their enthusiasm. But the Word is an absolute delight once we really get into it and start living in it and allowing it to permeate our lives. You know, in a way, it's sort of like this. When I go to the Bible, I am the sum total of everything that I am to that point. I mean, the way I was raised, who my parents were, the area where I was raised, the church in which I was raised, and then you just go on down through all your educational experiences, all your experiences in family and with friends and with enemies and with... We're the sum total of all of those. And when we come to read the Bible, we bring all that we've got to the Bible. But you know what happens? Once you have spent time in the Bible and you go away from it, you're not the same person as you were before. You have a different experience now. And when you go back to the Bible, you are a different person from the last time you were there. And it transforms you again when you spend time in it and you go away from it. And when you come back again, you're different again. And as we spiral in on the Bible, as we keep going back to it and allowing it to touch our minds, touch our hearts, give us new priorities, give us new words, new actions, a new way of thinking and living, we are continually transformed, because God is with His Word, is in His Word, and He is in the business of transforming people like you and me. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. Would you bow with me for a prayer? Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your living Word, which is so powerful in transforming people like us. Father, help us with our deepest desire to seek you with our whole hearts. Father, help us to learn to hide your Word away in our hearts, to allow it to bubble out as we recount it to other people. Father, make your Word in us a source of joy. Help us to dedicate ourselves to spending time reading and thinking and obeying your message. And Father, create in us a total delight for finding you in your powerful Word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.